Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. I do appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. I do have guests across the way as I'm joined this morning by a threesome. Across the way, Charlotte St. Ledger here from the Fairfield Memorial Hospital Foundation. Good morning, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I brought the sunshine with me today.
You really did. Charlotte.
Thank you.
You bring the sunshine with you wherever you go.
Thank you.
You really do. We're going to talk to you about all. You are the executive director of the Fairfield Memorial Hospital Foundation, right?
That is correct. It'll be 10 years I've been there in April.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Banking 33 years and now, it's almost retirement time, isn't it?
No, you're younger than me now. That's the craziest thing is that you have grown younger than me. Over here to my far right, let's use this thing to move that thing around, and you want to be about 4 inches from your face there, John. Over here on my far right is John Reynolds of FNB, John, tell everybody what you do. Are you the trust officer yet, or what are you doing?
No, I'm the financial advisor at the bank, Bruce.
And right now, you're here today because we're going to talk about all kinds of different old planning things and maybe some planned giving stuff, right?
That's correct.
John, next to John, he brought his colleague down from East Peoria, from Midwestern Securities. He's vice president and financial consultant up there at Midwestern Securities. Welcome to the show, Cal Lyon. How you doing, Cal?
I'm doing great, Bruce. Good to be here.
Hey, thank you so much for coming down here. I do appreciate it.
Well, it's a long drive, but it's worth it.
You're going to tell everybody what stocks and stuff they need to get into today, right?
I don't think so. The stock market is doing pretty well without me.
Yeah, the stock market is doing okay right now without your help. That's right. Charlotte, tell me all about what you're doing here today and what's going on today. What are we going to do? What are we talking about?
Well, we're focusing on plan giving.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it for some time. And last year, it was this month of last year, I was talking with John. Matter of fact, he attended our board meeting, and I said something about I'd like to, educate the community about planned giving.
Right.
And he says, I would like to be a part of that.
I bet. Yeah.
And
it really does make sense, though, doesn't it?
So we partnered up, and then he said, I have an expert on planned giving, and that's Cal Lyons. And we kind of been working together here since 6 months.
Let's talk a little bit about, just to familiarize folks with what the Fairfield Memorial Hospital Foundation does. You guys, you've been there for 10 years, but the foundation has been in business, or they've been together for many, many years, haven't they?
Yeah, since 1985, since its inception. And our president is Pat Kinchelow. Mm-hmm. She's a charter member, and she is still our
That's
president.
Pretty good.
I mean, she hasn't been president all those years,
but
she's a wonderful leader.
Okay. And the goal of the foundation is to?
We're the largest funding arm of the hospital. The auxiliary, I am the volunteer coordinator of the auxiliary. We raise money also for the hospital,
mm-hmm.
but we raise the major money.
The foundation does.
The foundation
And the hospital being in a nonprofit situation, right? I mean,
right.
It's a nonprofit company. The nonprofit hospitals have to have some kind of funding arm such as yourselves to be able to compete in this kind of day and age, doesn't it?
Yes, and our hospital is a not-for-profit, too.
Well, that's what I meant.
So anyway, we're the fundraising arm, and we're very grateful to the community for its support. We just finished our annual giving campaign,
mm-hmm.
and, it doesn't matter whether it's $10, $100, or $1,000, it all adds to our bottom line.
Sure.
And our community is faithful in supporting us each year. And,
one of the things also, you said you just finished your annual giving campaign. I presume that's because folks look at the end of the year as the time when you look over what you've how much you got left at the end of the year and decide how much do I need to give to the community, don't you?
Yep, looking for tax deductions.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know what we've given back to the hospital in the last few years.
Yeah, please do.
Because if you're going to give, you want to know what that value is.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, and you can look I've been only working here for a couple or 3 years, and it seems like every time I turn around, you're working on something new to donate to the hospital. What can you give credit to the foundation for donating?
Well, our kitchen project.
Yeah.
That was big money. It was $242,000 is what we give
really?
To that project.
Man.
That project.
That took a little longer than you expected, didn't it?
Yes.
Charlotte just got angry with me for asking that question. You can see the anger flaring right now.
Did you see that look?
I did see that look. I knew it was coming.
But you've eaten there. What do you think about our kitchen?
I loved it. I've had Reubens and I've had soups and I've had all kinds of. Had the chicken Kiev there one day. It was outstanding. I love it. Just great food.
So that was a $1.2 million project.
Uh huh.
And we
made a quarter
out.
Of that.
Yes.
That's good.
The next donation was our Wi-Fi. That's a network.
I got to tell you, Charlotte, that didn't cost that much for me to plug that in my house. How could that cost that much at the hospital?
Are you getting that benefit at your house?
Well, not yours. I am close enough. If your Wi-Fi is powerful enough, I might be able to get it. But I'm not that close.
Well, it's powerful. And that donation was $53,000 to that project. And that was in 2016, last year.
See, now that is... Folks, I'm making fun of it because I just plug in the Wi-Fi to watch different television and play on a computer. But it takes a little. You got to have Wi-Fi in this day and age in the hospital for entirely different reasons, don't you?
Yes. I found out a lot during that time. The auxiliary, they donated $22,000 toward pain pumps.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that the pain pumps use Wi-Fi. So it was very limited.
To help monitor, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that they were very, they could only, it was limited use.
Right.
So anyway, now with this Wi-Fi, they can put those pain pumps anywhere.
And do all kinds of fancy things with them that they haven't been able to do over the years, right?
New equipment that they're going to be, ordering. It runs on Wi-Fi.
Well, that's outstanding.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well,
so it's not just something to sit there and.
It's not so that I can sit there and watch like The Good, the Bad, the Ugly while I'm sitting there trying to hide from my grandma or something, right?
Right. But if we do.
That's pretty specific there.
My grandma passed away 20 years ago. That's a joke.
But as. On third floor, if a family is there to visit their loved one, if you bring the kids, they can. We have Wi-Fi available for them now.
Oh, that's great!
So we want to keep our visitors happy, our patients happy, and we want that patient care to run 100%.
What are any other things you wanted to mention of the different things you've
something
donated?
You don't know about?
Really, you've got a new one.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. Do I need a drum roll? Are we getting an exclusive here?
Yes. Do the roll. Nurse call system.
Nurse call system.
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
They aren't connected to the wall anymore. Is that right?
Oh, it'll be connected. we have pledged it's $163,000.
Really?
Yes. We have it's in process right now. If you want to know about the nurse call system, call Jeff Wise.
Okay.
He is our guru.
What's the new about it?
Well, we're putting in a new call system.
Okay.
Because the other one's not working.
Well, yeah. You kind of
Wait. It's working. It just goes down a lot.
Yeah, it's struggling.
Yes, it's struggling. You know when you go to the bathroom there and you see that little cord?
Yeah.
That's a nurse call system.
Oh, okay.
You pull for help. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all over. I didn't realize that the nurse call system involved other departments besides med surg.
Really?
Like the radiology.
See, now, I didn't. Have you figured out, or you said that Jeff's the guru. Do you know how old the old nurse call system is? I'm assuming, is that 1950?
No. When was our last remodel job? Now think real
2000.
Hard. 2000. No.
You had the Millennium thing. Where
it
you...
was 1998.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You had the big thermostat outside the that you were painting as you went up, right?
Yes. The
thermostat. Well, whatever you call it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yes, it was 1998, so it's served its time there.
Yeah.
Now we're upgrading it, and it's amazing. Everything you do in a hospital costs a lot of money.
And that's why we've got Cal and John here, right?
To help us raise money.
Well, I tell you what.
Planned giving.
And we're going to talk more about the planned giving as well as other kinds of ways folks can help out the hospital. And we're going to talk to Cal and John when we return. You are listening. By the way, folks, I will make you talk, too.
Oh, that's fine.
You can't sit there and be quiet. I'll ask you something in a minute. Hey, you're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. We'll be back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got Charlotte St. Ledger across the way along with John Reynolds and Cal Lyons. Cal is the financial consultant vice president up at Midwestern Securities in East Peoria. And he's kind of, Charlotte, we were talking earlier before we went to break, we were talking about new strategies that the hospital and the foundation in particular is going to start trying to implement. And Cal is helping walk the foundation into this system, aren't they? Isn't he?
Yes. We're in the educational part of it. I didn't know of a better place than to go on the Bruce Dickey Talk Show to introduce to you my friends, financial advisor, John Reynolds and Cal Lyons.
Cal, how does this get going? What is the goal? The goal, of course, is to help the charities, isn't it? To help charities become more effective at raising funds and helping people, right?
It goes two ways, Bruce. You know, we started this program, what we call our Smart Donor Program, a couple of years ago. But the primary purpose is a twofold purpose.
Mm-hmm.
One is to help not-for-profit organizations, charities, and churches of all types to raise more money through smart plan giving strategies.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we're doing this is because we know that 95% of the not-for-profits out there, this is probably the poorest or the weakest part of their fundraising program.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case.
I hadn't really thought about it, but you usually don't get messages from charitable organizations asking you to think about scheduled giving or planned giving like this.
Right. Well, you do if you're an alum of a institution or a university.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, if you're like the U of I yeah. Foundation.
Yes,
you
yes, know. We do. Yes, yes, we do.
Some very large foundations or hospital groups will do this. But for the most part, most not-for-profit organizations may have done it better over the years, but they've cut on staff, they've cut on funding. They don't have enough people that are trained to really – or the time to really educate the public about their need for planned gifts, long-term planning for estate-type gifts or structured gifts.
Right.
And most of them are very good at doing their golf outings or doing their 5K runs.
They're raising funds for with a particular goal in mind,
exactly.
As opposed to the long-term raising.
And even United Way, for instance. United Way is a very large national organization, but they don't do planned giving very well. They really need to do it better. But they've got a structure in place where, you know, they get the employers out in the community to start building teams, and then they have their big drive. But most organizations just do.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, if you do it on the plan, if you set up a planned giving thing, I would think that once it becomes effective, it could be it'd be easier to do, as you said, with the reduced staffing.
Well, in fact, one of the reasons that I try to emphasize the importance of planned giving is that it gives you future security. You know, if you've got a program in place, you're promoting. That you are in the business of actually receiving planned gifts,
sure.
And helping people understand how that works, because it's not just simply like writing a check,
yeah.
Making a pledge, you know, on my Visa card or whatever like
right.
that. But it's a matter of, gee, you know, I do have assets that perhaps I can use to not only help the organization, but is there a way that I can structure this so I can increase my own income? Or for myself or my family, and or get a nice tax break
right.
in the process. And so it's part of the estate planning process.
Well, and you don't usually find folks who would prefer to give any extra cash to their taxes as opposed to maybe a church.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I think I tell my own clients this all the time. I said, you know, when you die, there's three places that your money's going to go to.
Yeah.
It's going to go to your family or friends. It's going to go to a charity, or it's going to go to the IRS. And so, if you're not planning on the first two, you know, the IRS is going to get
a
lion's share of it,
a chunk.
And so, it's a matter of where do you want your money to go?
Right.
And so that's what we help them to do.
And you've, and of course, we already talked about it. Charlotte talked to John, and John got you involved, and. What you're doing now is helping train. What is the main? How's the goal work? What's the how does the Smart Donor Program work?
Sure. Primarily, what we try to do is working with organizations like Charlotte's with the foundation. If they do not have a well-developed planned giving program in place, helping them to identify what things we can do.
Yeah.
Initially, if you're in a case where they really have very little, it's what I call accidental planned giving.
Really?
Most not-for-profit organizations operate this way. They do some planned giving. They may get an estate gift or something from a will or a trust once or twice a year, but they haven't done anything to actually earn it.
Yeah.
It's a matter of that they get a phone call from an attorney and said, by the way, you were named in the will here. Why don't you come over here and sign some papers and all that type of thing? But if they were to think about, gee, I don't even know who this person is sometimes,
yeah.
And or what if we had actually cultivated and developed a relationship with that person ahead of time? Could they have done it better?
Do you get that very often, Charlotte? I mean, we'll get back to Cal in a second. Do you get that very often where the foundation gets probably unexpected folks making a donation, say bequests?
We've had a few, but we're working on it.
Yeah, yeah. So the planned giving part, you're helping Charlotte, and you're helping Charlotte try to make folks more aware of the possibility of doing that before, but while they're still living, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, my background is I've been a financial planner for about 13 years, but I also spent 16 years in higher education, and that's where I really learned about planned giving. I was the executive director of a foundation. I was the vice president for development and advancement at a couple of colleges. And primarily my job was to raise money.
Uh-huh.
And so when I got back into as a financial advisor over the last 7 or 8 years, it was very obvious to me that, you know, financial advisors are doing a disservice to a lot of their clients.
Really?
Because they're not talking about helping, doing ways for planned giving. You know, financial advisors, for the most part, we get paid by accumulating assets.
Yeah, I was going to say that's really not how that's not how you guys are incentivized, is it?
No, that's right. That's exactly right. And so you find a lot of financial advisors, they know a little bit about some of the planned giving strategies, uh-huh. but it's not something that they spend a lot of time on. We leave that up to the lawyers and, you know, the CPAs when people are doing their taxes.
Right.
And what happens is that, well, most lawyers and CPAs know a little bit also. And
sure.
They do some of it. But it's not something that's promoted very
strongly. It's not a specialty, really, is it?
Not too many. Not for very many people, no.
Yeah. How successful have you been? You've been doing this. You saw this niche. How successful have you been in training organizations to use the Smart Donor Program? Did you develop the program?
Yes, I spearheaded it and, you know, kind of helped run the program and do most of it. But
uh-huh.
But we have a charitable giving advisory team, you know, that we bounce things off of. I have some attorneys and some other CPAs that we work with. But for the most part, we're just trying to help our not-for-profit organizations that we work with, and we work with a lot of them.
Sure.
And give them the opportunity to say, listen, if you'd like to help in learning more about how to implement planned giving into your everyday strategies and to begin to educating your donors and your staff and your volunteers and your board about how to talk about this a little bit, because people have assets that sometimes can be used for long-term gifts
right.
that they don't even know about.
Really? And, like what?
Let me give you an example. You know, I spent at one college I worked at, I called on an alum once
okay.
who was a giving of.
By the way, you mentioned the college. It's because you used to work in. Did you go to the University of Illinois too? I mean, is that what is that why you mentioned that one? University of Illinois?
No, I didn't. I didn't go to University of Illinois. I just know that U of I.
They're sophisticated.
If you want to talk about a successful plan giving structure, you know, U of I Foundation.
Yeah.
You know what do you think these? You have $1 billion endowment. Where do you
right.
think that comes from?
Comes from me.
Yeah. And it's not just all people writing checks.
Right.
You know, you're talking about estate gifts over the years that have built up.
Yeah. Okay, I interrupted you. You were giving an example.
But just give an example. You know, I had a donor once at a college I worked at that gave faithfully every year, anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. And I thought, well, that's pretty nice. That's a pretty good chunk. And I stopped in to see them one time. I happened to be in their area, and I drove by and asked if I could stop by and just visit with them because I had never met them. And it was a lady who lived in a farmhouse out in the middle of acres and acres and acres of farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And as I discovered, she lived there by herself. She never was married. I said, "Well, why are you living in this farmhouse?" And I knew she was a teacher by trade.
Is that right?
And she said, "Well, this was my mom and dad's farm." I said, "Well, do you own it or have?" She goes, "Yeah, I own the farm." And I said, "Well, how big is it?" And she told me how big it was.
And we're talking in central Illinois, too.
And we're talking northern Illinois. But
oh, dear.
It was farmland, and it was several hundred acres. And I began – and this was like 15 years ago when I was doing this. But I remember thinking what farmland was going at that time.
Sure.
And I calculated in my mind that, well, you got a couple $1 million worth of farmland here that you're sitting on. And we were – talking a little bit, she goes, "You know, I thanked her for being a donor," and she said, "Well, I'd do a lot more if I could." And I thought, "Well, maybe you can."
Yeah.
And then she said, "And then there's the other farm," and I said,
"See, now that's the one. Those are the words you like to hear, Cal."
And I said, "What other farm?" She goes, "Well, that was my grandmother's farm." I said, "Well, who owns that one?" She said, "Well, I own that one too." And so here you have and it was even bigger than mom and dad's.
Yeah, yeah.
So here we have a situation where she was giving faithfully out of some of her income and, you know, her pension and stuff like that.
And she was probably, you know, being a pensioner, she probably did not have a gigantic amount of income. She was cash poor and asset heavy, right?
Exactly, exactly right. Income poor, basically, and acid heavy.
Yeah.
But helping her, you know, make a long story short, we help figure out a way that she could actually take some of that land and structure a gift in such a way over time, but at the same time, give an immediate gift. So she had a long-term gift that would give, go to the college when she passed mm-hmm. away, but then she had, you know, an immediate gift that could be handed immediately, and then they turned that into scholarships.
Oh, really?
And so then she could, would come to the school every.
Would she present them? The scholarships?
Yes.
Is that right?
She'd come and present scholarships, and so though, I mean, just helping people think about ways that are meaningful to them.
Yeah.
And help them do. So that's part of what we're trying to do with our organizations that we work with, is think about how they can strengthen their relationship with their donors and help the people in their communities to think about, how can I be a better steward of the assets that God's given me?
Right.
And, you know, there are rules and regulations and laws out there that allow people to do gifting, and yet it's a matter of...
they may not realize it.
And they just don't understand how it works. Somebody needs to tell them.
Well, that's... Well, that's where you come in, and that's I'm really surprised by the number that 95% of charities don't do that well. But I guess, you know, when you think about it, if you think of somebody doing it very well, being a university, SIU does it pretty good too. I get hit on both sides. SIU does it pretty good too, but we don't get hit by too many other people as much as those guys. So that makes some sense. You guys send out. I'm talking to Charlotte now. Charlotte St. Ledger. This probably is. You're probably looking at this like, oh boy, that might be something that's very helpful to us.
Yes. You know, I was in banking several years.
Yeah, and John's in banking. I was in banking several years too, and yeah. I never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm. So we're exploring right now.
Talking to Charlotte St. Ledger along from the Fairfield Memorial Hospital Foundation, as well as John Reynolds with FNB, and Cal Lyons, he's with Midwestern Securities. We're giving kind of an overview here of planned giving and the things that it's early in the process. We're going to keep, we'll probably revisit this sometime quite a bit in the future. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about it when we return. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these.
Got the shape I love to squeeze. Looks that bring me to my
Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM, Fairfield, Illinois. I've got some good guests across the way. We've been talking this morning with Charlotte St. Ledger from FMH Foundation, as well as Cal Lyons of Midwestern Securities, and John Reynolds from FNB. John, tell me a little bit, how did you get involved in all this? I know that Cal, the FNB has been working with Midwestern Securities now for a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, we partnered up with MSTC a couple years ago to provide the investment services. MSTC is actually the company that trained me on how to do this. I spent about 6 months in the office that Cal works out of.
Okay.
And during that time, when I met Cal, we talked a lot about this planned giving stuff.
Uh-huh.
I didn't quite understand it at the time. I've come to understand
it a little
better.
It's a little dense, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very complex subject. Pretty dry too, so you might.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, but
and you got you and Charlotte came together in a it kind of works out well for both of you, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, I was working with Charlotte already on some things, and she mentioned that she was hoping to work on some planned giving drives, and I had a little light bulb above my head light up, and I.
That's
said
a way
to
that
her,
you guys can come involved.
Absolutely. I told you I know a guy. That can help us out with this. So
I know a guy.
I know a guy. I got a guy.
You're a guy, Cal. Well, now, Charlotte, is that pretty much how it went? And I guess you and John are learning how this works at the same time, aren't you?
Yes, and he...
How to make this work.
Cal is a gentleman. He's not a guy. He has a wealth of information. It just seems like, you know, we were just led to Cal. And he, you know, when you're dealing with someone about your investments, you want to trust them.
Sure.
And I am just so excited that, you know, that we had that point person to go to for to send some potential to.
The foundation, when you start this, they've got a like different stages. Right now, at this point, you would say you're in the first stage of a five-stage process. You're right now at the education and awareness part,
and that's correct. And we have on our website.
Right.
We're connected to Cal's calculator.
Okay. What's the calculator? I've got a calculator on my phone that will go plus or minus and that kind of thing.
You go into our website, fairfieldmemorial.org, click on the plan giving. And then it goes to?
Yeah, the way it works, Bruce, is that we have a very robust website with the Smart Donor Program.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all kinds of information on it. We've linked Charlotte or the foundation's website with ours. So when you go on the foundation website and you'll go on the plan giving stage, you can click on the plan giving button and it'll bring it over. And then on our page it has a plan giving calculator button, amongst other things.
Right.
But on that button, it'll pull up different ways that you can consider giving. And once you get into that, there are calculator boxes show up where you can put, okay, I have a certain asset and it's worth a certain amount of money. I paid this amount for it. You put things in there like that so you know if you have any capital gains and stuff. You put your age and your...
Giving you net present value and all that kind of stuff?
Well, it's more like the for tax purposes.
I see.
Because
okay.
For taxes, if I were to... For instance, if I have $1 million worth of Apple stock.
Right.
And it's just sitting in a brokerage account and I sell it all.
Well, you probably would have bought $1 million if you bought it 5 years ago. It was $100,000.
Yeah, let's say you bought it for $100,000, yeah, and now it's worth $1 million. Well, now you have $900,000 that would be exposed to capital gains tax.
Right.
And that's one reason why a lot of people don't sell something at a given time, because they don't want to have to deal with the taxes and so forth. But so you plug all that information in there. You put the age, your age, and if you're married, you know, spouse's age and everything in that. And depending on what the tool is, but it will actually come up with a presentation, like a little slideshow presentation.
Really?
Say if you'd like to use this type of a gift, this is how it would work, and this is what you would get back out of it for income. This is what your tax savings would be, and this is how much would actually
goes to the organization,
go to the foundation, right?
Charlotte, what is that website?
It's fairfieldmemorial.org. You go into the planned giving. And another thing that we've added is on Facebook, our Facebook, is we're going to have these weekly tips, did you know, about planned giving. So anyway, that's part of our education.
You're on stage one right now, the education and awareness. There are several other stages, solutions and agreements. Stage three, coordination and implementation. Four, investment trust management. And then distribution and income in stage five. How long does the process go? What are you expecting? How long are you expecting this to take before it's up and running and working very smoothly? I'm asking you that, Charlotte, and then I'm going to ask Hal at the same time. Or you can pick who wants to answer first. What's typical? What is the typical whenever you become involved with an organization like this, Cal? What's the typical educational process before you get from stage one to stage five?
Usually when I work with an organization, I say that what we will do, we'd like to have a 12-month agreement. We have a small fee, to get involved in that. So we'll have a 12-month agreement, and if you like it, I would expect you to renew it. And I would encourage you to do it for at least 3 years. Okay. It takes about 3 years to really get everyone into a system where they're this is running smoothly. We understand what we're doing. We've got our brochures. We've got our mailers. We've got our process. And we actually know how to talk to people and make
That's three quarters of the battle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Knowing how to talk to somebody.
Right.
Yeah. What do you, is that the 3 years? Is that what you have in mind there, Charlotte?
That's what we're looking at.
I didn't know if you wanted to boost
No.
Speed it up or slow it down.
It's forever.
Ah, there she is, ladies
forever.
And gentlemen. Charlotte St. Ledger.
This is our plan.
Exactly
giving.
Right.
Forever.
Exactly right. Charlotte, hey, Cal, thank you so much for coming in.
You're
Charlotte,
welcome.
Before I let you guys get out of here, tell me a little bit about some of the other things. You were going to talk to me a little bit about the urgent care and how things are going out there at the hospital.
The urgent care is going big. It's I can't tell you how wonderful it is. They have seen up to 48 patients in a day.
How do they do that?
They, because people need urgent care.
So that's two per hour because it's 24 hours a day, right?
And yes. And
no, it's not.
They
got to catch me with a trick question, Charlotte. I'm sorry.
I'm moving you right along.
I know. No, we got plenty of time.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time.
And they're so busy that they're going to even hire more nurses.
Are they?
Yes. So urgent care is going good.
Yeah.
And soon we're going to have telemedicine.
Okay, you're going to have to tell me what that is.
I really don't know a whole lot about it. It's telemedicine. It's where that, a doctor from, maybe Timbuktu can talk to one of our doctors here.
Is that right?
Yes.
Get the expert opinion from elsewhere as opposed to have to, fly to talk to him or something like that.
So that is something I would like for someone that has that expertise to come on your show to talk about.
Well, my number.
It's not quite yet, but
you know my number, Charlotte. You know how to get a hold of me.
We got your number.
All right, John. I've been asking everybody on the show this week who's going to win the football game. I just asked you a little bit, but now you're going to have to say it in front of God and everybody. Who are you picking to win? Give me a score.
Well, Bruce, I'd like to see the Falcons win. Patriots have won a lot in the last few years.
See, now you're in the business now where you really can't predict outcomes and tell people.
Oh, that's right. I got to be careful there with predictions.
That's right.
I think this is going to be the closest game that we're going to see in the playoffs. There's been a lot of blowouts, so I hope to see an actual contest for once. But I think the Patriots are going to pull it out by about 5 points.
You're going to take the Patriots. How about you, Cal? I'm going to make you talk. Give me a pick here, Cal.
I want to be the
voice of reason.
I'm going with Atlanta.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I have faith in America.
How about it, Charlotte? Did you know there's a football game this
Patriots.
Next weekend. Yes. Taking the Patriots, huh?
Yes.
Well, I've been telling everybody that I haven't made my choice yet. I'm going to pick the Falcons, too. I'm with you, Cal. Let's pick the Falcons and feel good about ourselves. Cal, thanks very much for coming on. Charlotte, thanks very much for coming on. John, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.